Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Just taking you back to Delhi, how did you feel when you watched that interview?
It's difficult for me to talk about Delhi, you know. It's difficult for me to watch, you know, and... Yeah, I have a lot of regrets. There's certain times that I wish I'd done more, yeah.
In what way? How did it happen then? So when was the first sort of time you heard that Bayern Munich wanted you? Do you need this change?
Yeah, no, it was definitely time for me. It was obviously probably 6 months too late, you know, if we're honest.
Talk to me about the Tottenham bit, that sort of, if you like, that Spursy thing.
You know, it's going to be a thing I'm going to live with the rest of my life, that we didn't win something.
And there was this feeling that... Why did Bayern Munich want Eric Dier?
This is a club which I see myself in, you know. We can spend a few hours discussing it.
Talk to me about England. Have you spoken to Gareth Southgate?
No, I haven't spoken. I haven't spoken at all to him.
Not even since you come to Bayern Munich?
No.
Well, we're off to the Allianz Arena to see Eric Dier. And he's recently made his move to Bayern Munich. He's got a big game coming up in the Champions League against Arsenal. And they've also just been beaten by Dortmund in the last 48 hours. So it's not going to be the most pleasant of atmospheres at the Allianz. But a wonderful stadium, great club. And working with Eric for England for a few years, he's a top professional. And actually, I think gets a bit of a raw deal in England sometimes when he's being sort of... if you like, scrutinised as a football player. And, you know, I'm glad he's come over here to a great club to further his career, and it'll be a great experience for him. Looking forward to speaking to him.
Here he is.
Hello.
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good?
Yeah,
good.
Hi, guys.
You're looking well, Eric.
Thank you very much.
Right, so, on Saturday night, I'm sat at home in Manchester, and I've got a choice, Villa Wolves, Munich v Dortmund, and I decided to watch Munich v Dortmund. And it looks like, I mean, Thomas Tuchel after the game said that the league is now gone. Is that how you feel after the Dortmund game?
Obviously, you never want to rule it out, do you? But it was a bit of a sucker punch before the game, because we saw that they had scored.
Did that affect you? Because I mean, sometimes players say that...
I've been in that situation before at Spurs when Leicester... And I actually felt like it was really unfair at the time, because they seemed to play before us every single week. Yeah. And every weekend it was a bit of a sucker blow. They won. And when it's a late winner, with two goals in the 90th minute, then I feel like that can have a bit of a effect. But it's no excuse really.
To be honest with you, I mean, obviously that's happened when I was playing. You always wanted to play first.
Yeah.
You always wanted to get your game won, and it did transfer pressure.
12:30.
Get them in quickly. Get home. Get your Chinese ordered.
Yeah, it's the best.
So, in terms of Bayern this season, obviously you've only come in the last few months. But what has happened? I mean, obviously Leverkusen have been outstanding.
Yeah. Obviously, at a club like this, when we lost Leverkusen away, and then we lost 3-0. It wasn't a 3-0 game, but we lost 3-0, and then we lost the first leg of Champions League against Lazio. You know, this is a new experience for me at this club, but at a club like this, you lose those two games and suddenly there's a hell of a lot of pressure.
Yeah. What's the big difference that you've seen here from being at Tottenham? Obviously, this is one that I used to think when I played against Bayern Munich, this was a giant of a club.
Yeah.
It was always the most professional outfit. Have you sensed that since you've come here?
Yeah, it's funny because there's one side of things which is funny, which I said to Harry when I first arrived, when we had the bad results, like, I'm completely unaware of German media, you know, I have no idea where German media is, like, or where I have to go and look, or it's just not on my radar. Yes. Whereas in England, even if you don't want to look, you see it everywhere. The training ground, Sky Sports News is on, you know, and I see you all the time. And for me personally, it was a bit strange, because I was completely unaware.
So you were shielded from it, really?
Yeah, because it's just not inside my life. Yeah. But then obviously, like you said, you get a real feel for the size of the club when you arrive. Yeah. There's a history to it that all the staff feel, and there's a togetherness within the training ground, which I haven't experienced before. Hey, listen, I'm going to park right in your place tomorrow.
Gary, please, you have to teach him how to park.
I park in Leroy's space next to him, and he...
Hey, come on.
He's complaining every day.
You've
got to learn how to parallel park.
It won't be long now before you're in this tunnel and Arsenal are here. You obviously got to go to the Emirates first. Should we ever walk out onto the pitch? Because last time I played here, it was 2010, Champions League quarter-final first leg, and Frank Ribery was the left winger.
Yeah.
And I was 35, struggling like hell, and he absolutely destroyed me.
Yeah.
And you're going to be playing against Arsenal. I mean, you're great rivals from Spurs.
Yeah,
could you believe it? How are you feeling about it?
No, obviously I'm really excited, you know. For me personally, in all honesty, you know, when I was at Spurs, obviously at the beginning of this season, you know, I didn't know if I was going to play Champions League again. You know what I mean? Like that was genuinely a worry of mine, you know. Yeah. So it gives me goosebumps thinking that I've played against Lazio here. It was one of the best atmosphere that I've ever played in. You know, that whole stand, they cover it, and they got the big banners up, and it was just an incredible experience for me. So just to play in the Champions League, it makes me feel emotional, you know.
Is Arsenal handling this place a factor? The history, what they're going to face? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I've already said this in an interview the other day. It's a funny feeling for me. When we lost to Lazio, I was on the bench, and after the game, I remember a lot of things were said in the dressing room after the game, and most of it was like, it was a sort of a calm dressing room. It was like, it's okay, they've got to come here now, you know, they've got to come to the Allianz. And I'd never really experienced that before, that feeling of confidence of, okay, now they've got to come here.
Yeah.
It made me think a little bit of what Liverpool must feel like a lot of the time, you know, when they go, okay, now they've got to come play at Anfield.
But who's saying that? Who in the dressing room would be the main people saying those sort of words? Don't worry, they've got to come to the Allianz.
Thomas Müller said it after the game, after the Lazio game. Well, obviously, he's got all the experience in the world, and he just said, it's only 1-0, now they've got to come here. It was a nice moment to be a part of and see that, obviously, from a player like him.
Did you watch the Arsenal-Manchester City game?
Yeah, I watched it.
What do you think?
I think everyone was a bit disappointed with the way the game went, but...
we're all expecting a bit of a ruck, and it was a bit of a struggle.
No, I think they're a very different team to last season, you know. Yeah. I think last season they played a lot nicer football than this season, but this season they seem to be a lot more result-driven, a bit more gritty, a bit less naive, I'd say, probably.
Yeah.
I think maybe they would have tried to play a bit more toe-to-toe with City last year, even at the Etihad, and this year they seemed like, okay, we're going to come here, defend well, and move on.
When I watched your game against Dortmund, and I'm thinking particularly the first goal, obviously Dortmund just sit back in a little bit, do you think that that's something that you need to be really wary about, particularly if Martinelli and Saka are there in those positions?
Yeah.
You know, you can imagine Havertz and Odegaard dropping in like they did against Manchester City, of a sudden you've got those two, you know, where Kimmich goes forward and Davies goes forward. Mm.
Yeah, I think obviously that's something that we'll have to be extremely cautious of. I know Bakayo very well and Martinelli, and they've got great pace on the wings. Trossard's proved a really, really, really good player there as well. So that's something obviously we'll have to pay a lot of attention to. I think it's something that I've experienced a lot since I've been here in the Bundesliga, teams trying to counterattack us. So we'll have to keep our eyes out.
It's like a mini North London derby, you and Harry. Are you really looking forward to the game, or is it a case of, I wish we didn't have to play these lot, I'd rather it be someone else that's not so emotionally sort of tied
to us? Just, obviously, it's football is beautiful in this way, isn't it? You know, football always seems to give you these storylines, you know. I think in the Champions League, when you get to this point, every team is going to be difficult. You're going to have to beat some really top teams no matter what to get to the final. And for us, obviously for Harry and I, it's weird. Obviously for Harry and I, it might feel a little different, but for everyone else, it's just a normal Champions League tie. So Harry can have more of an impact on it than me, I think. When I arrived here for my medical, like, first two people I met were the doctors at the hospital, and the first thing they were telling me was, hey, we have to win like this, we have to win that. And then Ange, I really, really enjoyed those 6 months, apart from not playing at all.
just in terms of you, Eric Dier goes to Bayern Munich, and there's that cynicism about you, that is the lack of appreciation, I think, in terms of obviously you're at Tottenham, you weren't in the team at the time. You maybe feel that lack of appreciation in terms of sort of what you've done. Obviously, I work with you with England. And there was this feeling that, you know, why did Bayern Munich want Eric Dier? And I'm being kind to you here in the sense of, do you sense that there's a lack of appreciation of where your career is and what you've achieved?
I think there is. I know what I've done. You know, I'm pretty calm with what I've done. I think you obviously know a little bit from your time as a player. When you're at the same club for a very long time,
yeah.
You know, you're not that flash car in the car park anymore, you know. You're the old pickup right at the back. So when you're somewhere the same place for 9 years, every player goes through ups and downs.
Yeah.
But they can be disguised a little bit. If you move club three times in 9 years and you go through ups and downs, it's seen as more of a normal thing because he's changed club, he's settling in, he wants to leave.
Yeah.
But if you're the same place, then you still go through those ups and downs, and I think that's a difficult thing to manage as well.
Do you need this change for your career? You needed it.
Yeah, no, it was definitely time for me. It was obviously probably 6 months too late, you know, if we're honest. And obviously, I had a fantastic, fantastic time at Tottenham. I left very amicably, you know, and I always hope in my life in general I can do that with people, you know. And I had a very, very good relationship with the club the whole time I was there. So, yeah, it was just a natural conclusion.
When you said 6 months too late, was that because you felt as though when Ange came in, did you feel straight away that you... Not that you wouldn't... I mean, obviously, you must like his football, everyone does, but that you maybe wouldn't be part of his plans and that you should have been sort of bolder or...
Personally, I like to look at... I treat football as football and I treat the other side as business, you know, especially because... Well, we could talk about it for hours, but, like, the perception that a club should treat a player like a business decision, but a player can't treat the club like a business decision. So I knew my contract was finishing in a year's time, and I knew that I thought that I would be able to have better opportunities, you know, and I think I was proven right. So I think from my side and the club side, I don't know how much the manager had to do with it at that point. Obviously, when a player has a year left, the club wants to, you know.
And were they trying to sign you up on a new contract?
No. The club in the summer wanted me to leave.
Yeah, they wanted to sell you for the money, basically.
Yeah. But I made it very clear to them that it was only if the right opportunity came for me. Otherwise, I'm going to wait for what's right for me, you know.
I think that's absolutely right. You think of how that club has been when they've not wanted to let other players go, not Harry in particular. Yeah, so I don't think anybody would.
No, and I have a fantastic relationship with the club and with Daniel because I think he really respects honesty and professionalism, and I feel like I gave that to him for 9 years. So in all my dealings with him, it was very easy because he knows that I'm a straight talker with him, and he gives it back to me.
How did it happen then? So when was the first sort of time you heard that Bayern Munich wanted you?
Well, there was lots of talk. There was kind of a bit of back and forth in the summer, and then leading up to January, it happened pretty quickly. I spoke to the manager here, I spoke to the club, and it was, obviously for me, it was a no-brainer. I was absolutely desperate to come.
And in terms of the actual sort of move itself, are you feeling now that you're going to see out the rest of your career away from England? Or do you think at one point you'll think, no, I want to go back to England, play in the Premier League? Or do you think, no, I'm leaving that behind?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, football, you just never know. I'm extremely, extremely happy here, you know. I think this is a club which I see myself in, you know, in terms of the way the club carries itself, its principles, its beliefs, the way it is. I'm extremely grateful for the 9 years that I had at Tottenham, but, you know, you don't get so long. I don't know how you felt about being at the same place the whole time, but, you know, I want to have experiences. I want to experience, you know, to be in a new country and at Bayern Munich, living in a new city, experience football in different cultures, the way football's lived in different countries.
And when you look at this club's got probably one of the richest histories, but also it's a club that's deemed to have an incredible mentality, the strength of sort of the German mentality. You were at Tottenham, whereby the mentality of Tottenham was always questioned maybe me or everybody over a 15-year period. Talk to me about the Tottenham bit first, that sort of, if you like, that Spursy thing. How do the players feel when they're there and they hear that? And then what have you seen differently here at Bayern Munich that tells you that this is why this club's got a different mentality or a different perception?
A lot of the time I'd call it lazy, you know, someone to call you know, the Spurs he's saying, yeah, or that kind of thing. For me, it's just lazy, because you could look at any club in the Premier League and they could lose a game and they don't have that tag from the past, so that no one uses it, you know. Yeah. I guess that's the answer, really, is history plays a huge part in it.
Yeah.
When Pochettino was the manager, I don't think for 5 or 6 years anyone could possibly ever call us that Spursy, you know. I think we were fit, we were aggressive, we were on the front foot. I think it'd be difficult to say that about the Conte Tottenham team as well. You know, I don't think anyone enjoyed playing against that team either. Yeah. You know, it's going to be a thing I'm going to live with the rest of my life, that we didn't win something, you know, and there are times where we should have. And
did it play on your mind, that sort of, you know, the Champions League final, or maybe the year that Leicester won it, and different moments like that?
Yeah, Leicester the year after with Chelsea, when they won it. Obviously, you are fighting against that as well, that thing that you haven't won for so long.
Yeah.
You're fighting against that, whereas, you know, when you're at a club that has a very, very big history of winning, yeah, and very recent history, there is that just natural belief that exists within the club. And obviously there is the factor that when I arrived here for my medical, like, I remember saying to so many people, like, the first two people I met were the doctors at the hospital, and the first thing they were telling me was that, hey, we have to win, huh? We have to win this, we have to win that, we have to win.
You said about you had a good relationship with Daniel. And I think I've said about Daniel Levy that I think one of the best operators in football for what he's done off the pitch with the stadium and with the training ground. But then on the football side, when you were there, did you feel like the football project should have been separated and they should have had someone come in and look after that side? Because I've felt that about United in the last 10 years. Mm. The business side could be okay, but if the football side's not okay, that's the priority. Did you feel like that at Tottenham at the time, that there was like a handbrake on the football side a little bit?
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
I'm like you. I'm when I see like the way people talk about the chairman, it's a bit baffling to me when it comes to like he takes such good care of that club.
Yeah.
You know, from a business point of view, he takes such good care of that. You never see Tottenham in like a financial fair play discussion, and they built a new stadium, a new training ground. I think they have the best infrastructure in the world in terms of football.
Yeah.
And then obviously from a footballing side, we can spend a few overlaps discussing it, because I was there a long time and we went through many different kind of regimes, you know. We obviously had the Pochettino era and then the different managers that came after that.
Do you think the appointment of Jose, Antonio Conte and Nuno were Daniel's attempt to bring in almost like a... Because he obviously would have responded to that Spursy tag. He wanted those fierce winners who could almost in some ways just win, no matter what the cost. If the style was a little bit less, that maybe the football might not be beautiful, but actually they're winners, these guys. I think that's what he attempted to do.
When Jose came, I think he felt like it was the last chance with that squad. And then Antonio, I think, was a little bit different, because Fabio was obviously in charge then, Petrucci, and obviously he knew him very well from Juventus. So I think it was more a case of him just being a top manager that was available, and obviously Fabio, I think, probably played a big role in that. Yeah.
Which of those managers that you played under at Tottenham had the biggest influence on you as a football player?
Obviously Pochettino, I was young. We were all very young.
Yeah.
It was a little bit of a case of, I think, the club got a little lucky, because I cost €5 million, I think, and Dele was £5 million, and Harry came through the academy, Danny Rose, Kyle Walker came through the academy. They were, I think, like 15 or something when they signed, but you had a core of really good professionals, you know, a bit older, but still quite young.
Yeah.
Eriksen was still quite young, Vertonghen, Dembele, Alderweireld, Lloris in goal. I'm sure they didn't expect us seven to do what we did in like the space of the next couple of years, but I think what we were able to do was a lot down to the manager, because I think he was fantastic. His attention to detail was incredible. He gave us great fundamentals on the pitch of body shape, the way you moved your legs when you're running backwards, all these kind of things. He was obsessed with those details, and he'd do it in every gym session was detailed to that as well. So I think I was incredibly lucky in that sense of going to him, and he was completely unfazed by playing a young player. And before I signed for Tottenham, I spoke to Luke Shaw and James Ward-Prowse at Southampton.
About him. Yeah.
That was really why I was like, well, it's worth taking the risk, because I was going to play at Sporting, but because he was the manager, it felt like if you deserve it, off you go. And then obviously, like Jose and Conte are incredible characters, and I learned a lot with them. Antonio was probably the manager I played my best football under, and he was, aside from a manager, I just really, really liked him as a man.
Yeah.
I thought he was a very, very honest man, very kind. I remember his meetings were just incredible, like the intensity he would bring to his meetings and the intensity that he would bring to training every day himself, I thought was just incredible. Like day after a game, the players that haven't played, the intensity that he would bring on those days as a manager, you know. And then Ange, I really, really enjoyed those 6 months, apart from not playing at all. I just really, really enjoyed the style of play, the style of training. I think he has fantastic coaches. His team talks were great.
The most tactically aware coach you've played under, in terms of what he's tried, because what he achieves on the pitch, you think, how's he coached that?
No, but interestingly, he really doesn't do barely any tactical work. What he does is every single training drill from Monday to Friday is drawn up to represent the way that he wants to play.
I mean, because he achieved it quite quickly. I think Conte does that as well, doesn't he? He gets that, drills that way of playing. You know, it's a Conte team straight away.
Yeah, like Conte, I could do it blind, you know. But obviously, that was a lot of tactical work from Monday to Friday. A lot of tactical work, a lot of 10v0 and walking and walkthroughs and that kind of thing. But you were so well drilled. It would be ingrained in you. Even when we played against Chelsea, when he was the Chelsea manager, you knew what he was going to do, and I knew that like his wing back was going to whip it around the corner to his striker. I knew he was going to do it, but it was still so hard to stop, you know. And he would say that, like, if you just get the timings right, and no matter what, when we trained against it in training, it was still hard to stop, you know. So that was fascinating in itself. Yeah. There's times I could have just been a little bit stronger, you know, a little bit more honest with him. Obviously, I wish to go back and do a few things differently. I didn't go to the Euros. Not being a part of that, it's shit.
Just taking you back to the days where you were with Mauricio Pochettino, and you mentioned Dele just before, and obviously I did the interview with him. And he spoke really sort of well about yourself and two or three other players that are continually looked after him. Mm. Have you spoke to him recently, and how did you feel when you watched that interview?
Yeah, it's difficult for me to talk about Dele, you know. I speak to him all the time. I speak to him every week. Obviously, just very, very difficult to watch. I don't know if I've ever seen like the whole thing. I've seen bits and bobs of it, but it's difficult for me to watch, you know. And he said some nice things about me, but it works both ways, you know. He's also been a great friend to me, you know, my whole time. And it annoys me a little bit, because like people after that interview, a lot of people talk to me, but it's like, well, no, but he's been a great friend to me as well. He, like, you know Dele well as well, and he's like, for me, he's a special person. But I remember I was getting married, and I knew he was in America in rehab, and I spoke to him a few times when he was there, and I messaged him. I said, like, obviously it's no problem if you can't come, like, whatever, you know, because just let me know and whatever. And he was like, he was almost insulted, you know. Yeah. He was like, no, I'll be there, you know. Yeah. And he was, you know, and that's the type of friend that he's been to me as well. So my biggest thing is obviously I'm disappointed that I didn't do more, you know, in many many situations I look back on. I wasn't aware of the full picture, and there's a lot of things that, like, I was that annoying older person. I would always be on his case, you know, so he would hide a lot of things from me, or he'd tell me something and give me like 20% of it or something like that, you know what I mean? So yeah, I have a lot of regrets. There's certain times that I wish I'd done more. Yeah.
In what way? Because I mean, he said that you tried, literally you were the person that tried and tried, and like I say, was on at him.
There's times I could have just been a little bit stronger, you know, a little bit more honest with him. Obviously, I wish you could go back and do a few things differently.
But does the game provide enough support? I'm not necessarily saying Tottenham, I'm just talking generally about four young players.
I think I was just extremely lucky that I grew up at a club at Sporting Lisbon where they were just incredible at, like, looking after us as human beings from when we're 8 years old. The way they disciplined us, the way they taught us everything, the principles they instilled in us, just to behave, just principles, just to be a good person, and they were so strong. And obviously it came from a position of power because they're Sporting Lisbon, they're in Portugal, so they're like, every kid wants to play for us, so they could do that. In England, you have the problem where you have 20 Premier League clubs who can pay these young kids crazy amounts of money, and the kid doesn't like the way the club does something to them, and off they go down to Chelsea or they go across to Liverpool, you know. And I think that's a huge problem in the youth system in England. I think they need to find a way to give the clubs more power over young players where they can't just throw their toys out the pram and leave. They're not given the right education in how to be as a person when they're young, you know. And at Tottenham, it used to just infuriate me when young kids used to come train with us. They couldn't shake your hand properly and just, like, look you in the eyes, you know, and say good morning, you know. And I remember at Sporting when I was growing up, you had to shake everyone's hand. Because I lived at the academy, you had to shake everyone's hand. You didn't make your bed, like, in the academy, you weren't leaving the academy at the weekend. Didn't matter if your mum came or your dad came. Didn't matter.
If you can't make your bed, it's a pretty bad start for
the
day, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a habit, like, I've kept with me my whole life because of it. And you had all these little things there. You missed school, you didn't play at the weekend. Didn't matter, it was Benfica and whatever. You're not playing.
So your foundations have to be sound.
So, for me, with young players, your foundations have to be sound. It's very, very difficult for young players. I think, obviously, everyone's different. Everyone's backstory is different. It's a different world that we're living in now with the social media and the constant thing. I read Ferguson's, I think it was Ferguson's book. You got on a plane to go somewhere for a European game, and you went to the back of the plane and had it out with a journalist.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, no, because I was thinking about that because I was coming to speak to you, and I was thinking about this social media thing. And it's like, that back then, that's how easy it was, wasn't it? Like, you had a newspaper and you knew the guy and just went to the back.
We used to think it was bad with the newspapers having a go at us.
Yeah,
if you think, the newspapers have become a lot kinder in their sports coverage, I think.
Yeah.
And the actual social media aspect is, it can be vile, it's a cesspit.
So it's like nowadays you'd have to go to the back of the plane and there has to be a big plane. You know, you've got to go knock on a million doors. Whereas back then it was just, you just knew the guy, you went back there, it was like,
have it out and then.
And now it just comes from all different angles from millions and millions of people.
But it's interesting, I think that you've got to get, I mean, you're good at the media, you always have been, even when you were with England, you've been pretty good
at it. But that was Sporting as well. From when I was like 14, we used to have like a media training you know, at the academy. So like someone would come in, talk to us about how you answer questions and all this stuff. And so like, again, it was one of those things that it was an education for me as well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the biggest criticism I got was playing for England. And England, obviously, in the last 12 months, you've not been with England in the last 12 months. And you're on 49 caps as well, which is a killer.
Everyone loves to remind me.
They're just going to have to get you on the pitch just for, like, even 10 seconds just to get 50. But talk to me about England. Gareth picked a squad maybe 3 weeks ago now that's got six centre-backs in. You're playing for Bayern Munich in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And there's Gomez, Maguire, Stones, Branthwaite, Konsa, and Dunk. Where you at?
No, obviously I want to be a part of the England setup. I believe I should be as a player. I should be a part of it. I believe that I'm a level of player.
Have you spoken to Gareth on
that? No, I haven't spoken. I haven't spoken at all to him.
Not even since you come to Bayern Munich.
No. I haven't spoken to him. So yeah, obviously, international football is really simple. You try and play as well as possible for your club. Then the decision is out of your hands. You know, since the World Cup, I wouldn't say I've had any kind of dip in form. I feel like I'm playing the best football of my career since Conte came, and I think I've carried that on since I've been here. I think I've shown that. I think people think as well that I'm like 37 or something. I'm 30 years old. For me, I'm nowhere near the end of my prime, and I'd imagine that, like, this is going to be my prime, you know?
Yeah.
When I look around and players I played with as well, players that I think of at Tottenham, you know, like Dembele, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Lloris, all these guys, they were 31, 32 when I think they were playing their best football at Tottenham. So what will be.
These two games coming up against Arsenal, did they help you in some way? Obviously, one of them's in England. You would think Gareth will be there. Does it? I mean, I know
you play well.
But obviously, they're going to be huge games. Everyone's going to watch them.
Because
it's big. The big games. It's one of the exciting parts of the season. Mm. And you're going to be in the midst of it. I don't think you probably need to do an audition at the age of 30 and 49 caps. But does it feel like a bit of an audition for the tournament in the summer for you? Does it feel like a bit of a...
No? No, it doesn't. Because, you know, when I was younger, I probably would have thought about it like that. You know, I was probably a bit more like... intense with my feelings towards those things, but I'm just so excited just to play in the Champions League, play for this club, you know, like I really, really love playing for this club, you know, so obviously being here as well, obviously you're a bit unaware of the England thing as well because of that kind of conversation when I speak to you or an English journalist, then that question comes up, apart from that,
no one in Germany is interested in the English national team.
No, I've learned a lot about the German national team since I've been here. But that's not what I'm thinking about when I think about that game at all, really. Honestly, it's really not. No. It's just about trying to get through with this club and go as far as possible.
Does the tournament in the summer being in Germany make it a little bit extra special for you, the thought of wanting to... I mean, you'd want to be anyway, wouldn't you? Because it's England playing in Germany and the tournament. But the fact that you're here now...
100%. You know, I didn't go to the Euros, and not being a part of that, obviously having been a part of every other one during my professional career, it's shit, you know?
Just
sitting at home, not being there is not fun. And they're some of the best times of your life, just obviously with... Maybe you didn't feel this way as a player, but with the England national team where it is now, like when we're in Qatar, you know, there's a great feeling within the camp. Training's great. You're training with the best players in the country every day. I always loved going to train with England just because you're training with all of the best. So going away for a month to a tournament and living that together, you miss a lot of the things that are aside from the football as well.
Do you feel like you've got your spark back, this move to Bayern Munich? It's giving you sort of...
Yeah, 100%. Like we spoke about before, it was obviously overdue, I think, for me to have a new challenge. And when you're at the same place for so long, you do get comfortable, you know, and you recognise that more once you've left, obviously. Yeah. So it's nice, like, to come into training every day and feel like, you know, I got to prove myself every day and play to the level of what this club expects.
Have you got a message for your old enemy? Arsenal.
No messages. No messages. No, I'm looking forward to it. They're a great team, great players, and I think so are we. So it should be a good game.
I hope so, Eric.
Me too.
Great to speak to you.
Cheers,
great
Gary.
To
Thank see you. You.
Thank
Cheers.
You.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.